This is the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter. Presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance. Live local talk that matters to you. Now, here are Denise and Hunter, exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Welcome, everybody, to this Monday edition of Newsmakers at Noon. I am Denise Quinn.
And this is Hunter Newton.
And have you seen all the videos out there of all the smoke and everything else? And the rest of the country's going, hey, Oregon, hey, Washington, put your damn fires out.
What? No, come on. You sent that map over earlier, and my first thought was, Oregon and Washington are sending all their smoke to Canada. Idaho, Montana, these other states, they're just getting in the way.
You're just in the way. I mean, it is so bad. A friend who lives down in Lewiston took a picture, bright, red, bloody red moon. Folks that live down in the Silver Valley and Ada County and Boise, it's unbreathable. And it's not because Idaho is on fire. It's because Oregon and Washington are on fire.
Well, it's so ironic. You know, we always talk about the Oregon demographics of the massive population. The votes that truly matter are in along, you know, the I-5 corridor.
Yeah.
And because of the way the wind blows, they're fully unaware and don't care that the rest of Oregon is burning.
Yeah, I saw this morning I-84 between, I think, Ontario and Baker City is just shut down. I mean, and some friends were posting images of you can see the fire on the ridges. This is absolutely completely avoidable. I am so tired of this. This is all ridiculous. Leftist politicians and their policies, the spotted animal, and it doesn't have to be this way. And yet we're burning up millions of acres of timberland.
Well, and they don't utilize it afterwards. Yeah, that's the other thing that's always got me. In 10 plus years, you see these big fires happen. You see all the potential logging that could be done from burned dead trees.
Yeah.
And they would much rather let them sit there and rot than actually utilize them for anything effective.
Yeah, and I think you make a good point about the wind. If you're not sitting there choking to death on this stuff, you're blissfully unaware, as are so many limousine liberals along the I-5 corridor who have no idea the effects of policies on Eastern and, you know, Eastern Washington, Eastern Oregon, Idaho, Nevada. I mean, everybody, Montana is getting all this smoke. Mm-hmm. And it's absolutely ridiculous. I mean, I have to wonder, and I was looking at the Drazen campaign over the weekend, and she posted up there's 100 days. 100 days! Please, I pray.
So I
vote different this time.
Well, and I believe at the end of last week, there was supposed to be, at least it was in conversations, of having a first debate between Tina Kotek and Christine Drazen.
Well, it happened without Kotek.
Yeah, because why would she put herself out there and have to be forced to defend anything when realistically all the propaganda that she's been putting out thus far has been about how she's Trump-proofed Oregon, how she's made life so much better by raising minimum wage, and she's fighting so hard for Oregonians as long as they are, you know, in an area where the smoke's not blowing.
Yeah, she was claiming she was over surveying all the fires and everything else, which, you know, probably is legit, I guess. I don't see an upside for her to do any debate. And I was glad Christine Drazen was there. Mm-hmm. And it was a chance for her to answer questions. I think it was the Newspaper Association debate. I think it was, I have to go look at the tweet. But she did show up. And I don't know how many other were scheduled. I remember there was like challenging you to these different debates and forums. Honestly, I don't see from the Kotek camp, she's kind of running it like Biden did in 2020 from the basement. Mm-hmm. You don't really, she can't defend a record. Everything is TDS on steroids. So I don't know. I just really hope that people will see past their partisan ideology or the letter behind the name and will vote differently because, I mean, literally Oregon is on fire in so many ways.
Well, that and the challenges of what all of these policies have brought. The one that she spent the weekend really touting, because I believe July 1st, yep, Oregon's minimum wage increased again.
Yay. And she tweeted out.
Yeah, so happy. Ahead. She's so happy about that.
She did. Well, let me read the tweet, Hunter. On July 1st, Oregon once again raised its minimum wage. I led the fight 10 years ago to make sure the minimum wage rises with inflation each year. When workers win, Oregon wins. I will always stand up for Oregon's hardworking people. I don't believe you, lady. And this is not a good thing. No. So what is the minimum wage now in Oregon?
It's like
20 bucks an hour?
I think it's like $15.55. Well, it's in it, and they tier it. And that's the other part.
Yeah.
If you are outside of, if you are outside of the cities, you are at like 1555. If you are in the cities, you know, minus Portland area, it's like 1655. And if you're in Portland, it's like 1950. I mean, whatever it is, they tier it based on your location is part of the confusion behind it all. But then, of course, I remember when Oregonians voted on this and I had a conversation with my mother. She said, "You're going to vote for this, right? It's so great that we're going to have minimum wage go up." I said, "No." And she's like, "What? Why not?" I said, "Well, let's think logically. Right now, if someone's making minimum wage and it's $5-6 an hour, let's pretend, I don't know what it was back then, and they get a dollar wage, everything they touch goes up in price. I'm making $14 an hour. I'm not going to get that dollar raise because there's no reason for my work to do that. And so now my buying power goes down."
Yeah.
And eventually, if I was still at that $14, $15 an hour job, guess what? I could now be a minimum wage worker there.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, didn't these people not take like Econ 101? I mean, this is basic economics. Well, and again, minimum wage is a training wage.
Mm-hmm. Well, you have, let's look at all the problems that it's created. 14, 15, 16, 17, 18-year-old students aren't able to get part-time jobs because businesses don't see them worth being $15+ an hour.
Would you want to take a risk on an unskilled, unknown entity coming in and looking for a job?
Especially knowing that especially teenagers, high school age kids, they suffer from a epidemic of sun sickness. I remember when I was that age and I was working at a grocery store, and every time the sun came out on a nice Saturday morning, about half of the teenage staff miraculously was sick.
Oh, really?
but you know, and then I go, so now here's the next problem. So we cut all of these workers. So now you have 20 to 25 year olds out there looking for a first job and they're struggling to land it. Number two, if you are paying $15 an hour, you know, let's say at a grocery store, because I had this experience over the weekend, grocery store severely understaffed, one check stand open and then self checkout. Those mm-hmm. were the only two options in a busy Friday afternoon on a grocery store. Why is that? Because you are paying massive amounts of money. What used to pay for 2 to 3 employees is now paying for one employee. And they're replacing those employees with check stands and kiosks for you to do it yourself.
Yeah, you've been to a McDonald's or a fast food restaurant lately? I mean, it's all kiosks. It's all the little electronic things where you go in there and they still don't get your order right.
Well, in the service industry, go anywhere right now. They across the board are massively understaffed. Mm-hmm. And why? Well, because in order to keep prices reasonable, they have to replace that or just not, you know, add more to somebody who's already their plate when they don't have the time to do these extra things.
Yeah. And then people, you know, I don't know, Democrats, leftists, whoever, people are well, why are prices going up? Why is my chalupa twice what it was and it's smaller than it was? How much are you paying the person who's making it for you back there? Mm-hmm. Those are not skills that are worth 17, 15, 20 bucks an hour. Sorry, they're not.
Well, and then, of course, there's the biggest long-term issue with minimum wage being expected to be a working wage, a living
right.
wage.
Because a living wage.
It has now created a scenario where we are eliminating the middle class. They are becoming minimum wage workers, hand over fist. And yeah. how do thriving economies operate? Based on the middle class. Let's eliminate it. We'll move the bar up. So now the somewhat rich are now our new middle class. Well, guess what? That prices massive amounts of people out of markets left and right. So now you virtually have a wide gap between the you know, working poor to homeless versus the what would be now the new middle class.
It's almost like it's by design. Hmm. And the narrative, you know, you should be able to afford a house on minimum wage. No, you shouldn't. That's not that a minimum wage, again, like I said, is a training wage. If you go in, really, there should be no minimum wage. It really should be negotiated between you and the person you're working for. Mm-hmm. Whatever your labor is worth, you're basically selling your labor, whatever that's worth. Now we've got the government involved in it, so everything's become inflated. You shouldn't buy a house on minimum wage. That's not what it's for.
Well, let's go back in time. Let's take our little time travel machine. We'll hop in the DeLorean and take a little spin back to, before there was a minimum wage. Why weren't 12, 13, 14 year olds buying houses back then?
Right.
Because they
were working as a bus girl at 14 for the Ye Welcome Inn, and I should have been able to buy a house.
How nice would have that been? I mean, let's go even back to when I entered the job market at about 425, I think the minimum wage was. I didn't get the opportunity to buy my house back then on my $4.25, and houses were a lot less expensive.
Yeah, this is crap. And people that, I mean, I think most people they do see through this, but she's out there touting this as a big win. Mm-hmm. It's tanking the economy. It's one more reason you've got employers leaving. Again, you get in there and you start messing with rents. Again, those should be negotiated between the tenant and the landlord, not the government coming in and setting prices. Same thing with your labor. With, government grocery stores, Mom Donnie's out there, we're opening up five. You look at what that does, it squeezes out. All of this is meant to, like you said, this is to destroy the middle class. You're either going to have wealthy elites, no middle class, and very, very poor. And that's going to be it. The middle class is the engine that runs this country, and they are dead set on destroying it.
Well, and I always go back whenever they enter into a minimum wage debate, okay?
Yeah.
They always focus on some of the big stores, the Walmarts, the McDonald's, the big chains, and they point them out. Go back and actually, before we reach this outrageously high minimum wage, let's go back to when it was closer to the federal level, okay? Mm-hmm.
Which is $7.25.
Well, yeah, and it was even before that, mm-hmm. lower than that. Go into those stores and realize that most of them actually paid higher than minimum wage as a starting wage.
Yep. I don't think I ever had a job where I made at minimum wage.
I had one.
Maybe my very first
and
one.
And I had one bagging groceries at a grocery store.
Yeah, I was a dishwasher.
My second job, I made $2 above minimum wage.
Yeah. Yeah. And again, it's something that you and I, we negotiated.
And that was all in high school.
Yep. Yeah. Mine too.
And then when I stepped out of high school, about 3 days later, I was working at a job that was about twice what minimum wage was per hour.
Yeah. Well, in the dishwasher job, I'm not cut out to be a dishwasher. I got fired after 2 days because I had sunshine sickness.
Yeah. It's a real thing.
I lasted 2 days.
it's probably not as prevalent now because kids aren't working, but
right. It
used to be something that I think a lot of minimum wage jobs provided.
Like, really? Do I want to be in a hot kitchen? No. And so, 2 days. Bye. I think mm-hmm. It was bad. Okay, let's go ahead and take our first break. You're listening to Newsmakers at Noon on 1430 KYKN.
Now back to the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers at Noon is brought to you by Miller's Barbecue and Catering.
All righty. Well, you know how, we're supposed to really, any kind of tax things legislatively, voters really should get a say on that. And there has to be majority votes. And there's all kinds of things that you need to do before you just lay a tax on people.
Wouldn't that be nice? But what have we seen in the last few years? They like to lay the taxes and then make the voters work hard to get rid of them.
Which is like always stop these things at the petition level. That's on the, which we'll talk about later in the show. Mm-hmm. Portland now fresh off the $170 million budget shortfall is threatened police and other essentials. That threatened police. And other essentials is dispatching city employees to check on residents' recycling practices.
Well,
so they're going to be like popping in. Are you putting your pizza box in the garbage or in the recycling bin? And if it's in the wrong one, what are they going to give you, a hefty fine for it?
So it sounds like they're going to put a tag on the recycling cart for you to correct the mistakes and then probably punish you financially if you don't correct your misgivings. And I just go, that's what Portland needs. They need people to wander the streets and peeking through, because they already don't have enough of that with the homeless that are looking for cans and bottles they can recycle. But, let's get some government employees to help look through those cans, too.
Yeah. And in the meantime, with all these budgets and everything else, they're popping fees here left and right. I mean, making Portland, really one of the most unaffordable. I forget where it ranks. Mm-hmm. And a lot of municipalities will do that. Salem has done that. They'll throw fees on there so the voters don't have a say. They just increase it there. The way the garbage system runs, you've got to live in a geographic area if you want to get a specific garbage. I used to deal with the haulers all the time when I worked for the school district. They're great, but they're locked into a geographic area. So there's really no competition if you don't like who's picking up your garbage.
Yeah, or your electric bills. Those are determined at the government level, who gets to service your neighborhood, your address electrically. And I get so frustrated with these because that creates a government-run monopoly. That's what that truly is, which then allows them to kind of put fees and charges as needed amongst different communities. So I think I'm seeing that Pacific Power, I believe, is right now debating whether they need a fee increase.
Of course. I just, this garbage thing has always been a bugaboo because, and I'm going to say it, I'm on the record. Recycling is a boondoggle. I'm sorry. It's a scam. Most of it ends up in the landfill. Mm-hmm. They've done tracking. They've done surveys where they're seeing where it goes. I think in Marion County, does Marion County still burn the garbage over at Covanta? I know the lefties have a fit with that.
I don't know. Maybe.
I don't know either. But honestly, glass, cardboard, aluminum, okay, but everything else, and I don't do it at all. I just don't. I refuse to. But if having people snooping in your trash cans to see if you've done it right, really, are people going to allow this?
This is Portland, so probably. I sit here and go,
I could come to Salem.
But we talk about a lot with the flock cameras, with the constant surveillance state. Let's now add somebody looking through your garbage to maybe find something that you might not have, maybe shouldn't have had. Maybe you got rid of some packaging for something that, maybe some plastic bags or something else that, you don't want really your neighbors to know about. But now the government can figure out what you might be buying and what you're putting away in your garbage can.
And is this like the biggest problem? Is pizza boxes in the recycling bin? Because I believe because they have food on them, they have to go in the garbage.
But no, yard waste.
So, oh my gosh. They're yard waste?
You can put them in yard waste. And I'm kind of going,
what? How does that make sense?
Well, because cardboard's relatively biodegradable. And with the food on there, I'm kind of going, I always sit here. And one of the things that always gets me is this. Here we are in Oregon, the recycling capital of the world. Everything recycle. Don't throw it. Talking to people that live in Portland, they want you to literally create your own little compost buckets rather than put food waste into the garbage can. Okay. But yet recycling's picked up every other week. Yard waste and garbage are picked up weekly. Why is that? Why is, if recycling is so important, why isn't that the one that's, a weekly or daily?
And again, it's all virtue signaling. I am a recycler and look at it, I'm saving the world. No, you're not. No, you're not. You're not.
No.
Well, if you want to do it, that's fine. You want to do it of your own free will. And that's something like a compost pile. I don't have a problem with that. Mm-hmm. Use it in your garden. Well, but to be mandated and told and then to be snitched on. Jeez.
Well, here's the other big challenge. And we deal with it here at our offices because we have garbage and a recycling can outside of our offices.
Right.
We occasionally get random people dropping things in. So now are we going to get fined by a recycling company, for not recycling properly because some random person walked up and dropped their pizza box in our recycling?
So let me ask you, do you have a choice if you say, I don't want to recycle, I'm just going to throw everything as garbage? Are you allowed to do that?
I do that. So I assume I'm allowed because I do it. I throw what seems like recycling. I have three bins outside my house. So you're dropping these off whether I want them or not. And as my family is on the larger size, we'd always fill the garbage can.
Yeah.
So I always make sure that I throw what I deem is recyclable into the recycling can. And I throw things that I deem yard wastable into the yard waste can simply because I need the space.
Yeah.
I'm not doing it because, I'm super, I want my neighbors to see me recycle. I'm doing it because I need space.
Well, there you go. And that's a valid reason. I mean, those are personal choices. You're not being mandated to do that. Anyway, so it'll be interesting to see. That's in Portland, and I guess they're just tossing it around. But we'll see. No, I guess they are doing it.
Well, the other part of that is they're, in a budget shortfall. So they're talking about cutting police. It goes to everything we know about socialist-run government.
Warped priorities.
Is here's your primary job. We're going to put those aside. We need to do these pet projects. And then if we decide, maybe we do need some offers, we'll come to the taxpayers and tell them we need to raise more taxes so that we can afford more police.
Right, but we need Sammy the Snitch looking in your recycle bin because that's important.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, maybe.
Those are our priorities.
Okay, all right. I'll give them one benefit because having some people I know that live in Portland, they have a big problem with people wandering the streets looking through garbage cans. Recycling days. I mean, I saw it right here in Salem on a garbage day, people going through recycling and garbage cans that are outside looking for those treasures. Maybe they're going to take those people, pay them minimum wage so that they can look through the garbage cans and take extra notes. Maybe that's what they're going to do. Maybe they're trying to employ people.
And then you
that
can keep what you find.
It. That's right.
Treasure. I'm assuming like depositable bottles and cans.
Exactly. So they're looking for dimes and maybe you just pay them minimum wage to do that since it's so wonderful in Oregon.
Jeez.
Then they can all be. But imagine the problem because we want to be able to buy a house on minimum wage. So pay the minimum wage. They should be able to get off the streets, buy a house, according to what Tina Kotek says, and get extra dimes in the process.
Wow. Sounds like a win-win. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Well, I don't know. It'll be interesting if that comes down to Salem, because in my knowledge, that's not happening in Salem right now.
You do not
have Sammy the Snitch looking through your recycle bin.
Yeah. Well, and I think
but
we all
give
know.
It time because if it, you know,
we all know that's not how they're going to do it. What they're going to do is hire a bunch of, you know, bureaucrats at mm-hmm. exceptional wages to wander the streets and check through recycling bins. Now they put more people on government payroll.
Yay, more bow ties running around with clipboards.
Mm.
Just what Oregon needs. All right, we're coming up on the bottom of the hour.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, they're not going to send those out to fight these fires, though. So
No. Man, put the fires out. Unbelievable. So smoky. Okay, we got lots more to talk about on the other side, including this story about a dog mm-hmm. being punched in Salem. That's really disturbing. So we'll talk about that on the other side. Come on back.
The Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance, continues. Here are Denise and Hunter on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers at Noon is brought to you by Green Acres Landscape and GA at Home.
All righty. Story over at thatoregonlife.com. Coward caught on camera punching a defenseless dog in Salem. I guess this went out over the weekend. It looks like on Saturday a video was posted to Salem Crime and Oregon News. I watched the video. I wish I didn't. This looks like a small pit. I can't really tell. It's a puppy and this dude's picking it up and just pounding on it. And the little dog, what is the little dog supposed to do? I can't stand people who do this. Leave the little kids and the animals alone. I mean, it just says so much about the state of this person's, it's dark. It's just dark. What's the animal supposed to do? What kind of satisfaction do you get out of beating a defenseless animal?
Well, and I'm sitting here kind of going, it looks like it probably got loose. So a little bit of negligence on the owner to let the dog get loose and kind of be running. And rather than, you know, take the dog and put it in a kennel or tie it on a line, whatever, you're going to beat it in the street?
Beat it in the street and then caught it. So I don't know. They're asking, they gave the police department number if anybody knows who this guy is. This is absolute garbage. I mean, then, you know, and all, again, we were talking about IP28 and everything, talking about cruelty to animals. I mean, there are laws on the book. If this guy is caught, he should be prosecuted for this.
Yeah. IP28. Yeah. This is already a crime.
Yeah.
Beating an animal. It doesn't need a new law restricting everything else in order to be enforced.
No, not at all. So yeah, be on the lookout. Again, it's over at thatoregonlife.com. And again, I don't know. He was published this morning, so I don't know what the status is. I guess it happened at 6 a.m., shortly after 6 a.m. on Saturday. Okay. In the area of Wooddale Avenue Northeast and 32nd Avenue, after receiving reports, the officers responded, reports that a dog had been struck. They said it hadn't been reported until about an hour after the video, which is making it harder for them to locate the guy. So that's one of those bolo, be on the lookout.
Well, it also, there's the challenge. The video got taken, posted. So the person taking the video, it's rather than call and report it, sounds like they wanted a little bit of internet clout. And unfortunately, that's another sign of where society is today.
Well, And that's when people are getting the crap beaten out of them too. You've got people mm-hmm. just standing around recording it. It's just, it's awful. Speaking of stuff caught on video, local, this has gone super viral. Friends that own Beloved Cheesecake were up at a farmer's market in Issaquah. And the husband was wearing a shirt that I own, that I wear a lot. It's the Charlie Kirk Freedom shirt. I don't know what the wife was wearing, but they were in a little Mexican, looks like, pop-up in the farmer's market. And these two women just start harassing them. Absolutely vile, vulgar, and disgusting. And this one woman is like twerking all over the husband. It has gone mega viral. But this is the kind of crap, and this is Issaquah. So it's not like it's Seattle. It's Issaquah.
Yeah, well, and I sit here and go, the number of things that the women that had an issue with a t-shirt in this video, and I go, to me, that's where all the shame really belongs. One, telling every, you know, all of them, I hate you, I hate you, I hate you, and then trying to throw up this love, virtually sexually assaulting the male in this video because mm-hmm. she's up there twerking him. And even according to Oregon law, you know, while you can be naked and wander around, as long as you're not doing it for any kind of sexual purposes, this seemed like she was trying to get a reaction by a sexual activity.
Yeah, well, hats off to Jen and her husband, because they were very cool, calm, and collected, and very, they were like, oh, you're so tolerant and so loving. They did come out because I guess there was a misunderstanding. A lot of people who saw the video thought that the woman, she's a Mexican woman who owns this Mexican bakery, apparently everything there was delish, mm-hmm. thought that these women worked for her, and they don't. So I thought it was great that they came out and clarified. And I actually went out and followed her Instagram page and gave her a little love, because she didn't have anything to do with it, and she was caught off guard. And again, one of these women is a nurse at a Washington school. Mm-hmm. Of course, Libs of TikTok is all over that. I'm not going to give out any of that information. If you can go look at it, it's everywhere. Mm-hmm. It is everywhere. It has blown up. People are tired of this. I'm tired of women like this. Well, I'm sorry. It's awful, terrible behavior that we should stop tolerating this. And I'm glad they didn't. And I'm glad it went viral, frankly.
Yeah. Well,
there should be consequences.
Well, and beyond that, I'd sit there and I look at these couple of women acting that way, pretty much speaking for a Hispanic bakery owner, because they're saying, you're just lucky she is willing to serve anybody. And she, of course, she's in the back kind of video, kind of very much caught off guard, being very quiet about it.
Well, yeah.
Is these women are literally deciding that this woman hates you too for her. And I'm just going, what white privilege these ladies had.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So it was absolutely disgusting, despicable behavior. I'm sure the school that she works is getting a lot of phone calls. Now, she's made the life of the administrators at the school miserable, mm-hmm. all the teachers and everybody else, because they couldn't keep their damn mouths shut. And it's just, it's absolutely reprehensible. And they think they are cheeky, cute, funny, and right. Mm-hmm. And they're just obnoxious.
Yeah. And I just, and to me, that's the problem. And that's where, especially the COVID years, we empowered these people to believe, our government did, and our leadership empowered these people to go after anyone they disagree with, because there would be no comeback consequences on them.
Yeah.
And it's why we need changes in leadership. We need to change the scenario where these people are the true outcasts of society and need to be treated as such.
And the scary thing is one of them is a school nurse. Mm-hmm. Do you want this woman anywhere near your children? Absolutely not.
Well, it sounds like she probably has quite the agenda as a school nurse, because as we know, in these progressive states, they give those nurses a lot of power to help your child make their medical decisions.
Yeah. Yeah. So again, I saw Crowder had something out, Brandon Tatum. I mean, I think even Russell Brand had one out. Of course, Libs of TikTok on that. So you can, I mean, if you want to watch the video. And again, I thought Jen and her husband, they were mm-hmm. quite lovely in the way they handled it. And it has to be shocking, because you're in a farmer's market, you're enjoying your day, and you're harassed by these two wretched people.
Because of a t-shirt. It's not like they were even, you know, trying to be one of those people that are out asking questions of people at a farmer's market.
Yeah.
They are there frequenting the market, spending money at the market, wearing a t-shirt that for some reason these women were offended by.
And a very in the video, too, celebrating the fact that Charlie Kirk was murdered. So there's levels of disgusting in this video. And again, it's a white T-shirt and all it says on the front of it is freedom. And it has Charlie Kirk on the back up on the neckline. Mm-hmm. So if like with the eye of longer hair, you can't even see that. So that's how ridiculous this is. I think people are really tired of this. I hope there are some consequences for these women and that they grow up a little bit. Again, they're not children. They're grown women.
You know, closer to home, didn't you send me a video? I believe it was Lives of TikTok last week, I think Friday, of a video of a group outside, you know, touting or wanting death to the president and Charlie Kirk in Bend, Oregon.
Yep, that's out right. Yeah. I did.
So, yeah, it's not going away, but we need to start kind of pushing back on it and create the scenario where it's not comfortable for these people to be in polite society.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with that. And again, somebody was trying to give them crap for recording it and putting it out there. And it's like, I'm perfectly fine with them doing that.
Yep.
Perfectly fine.
No. And that's, and the other side of it is you don't know, how far these women will go. So recording it is your own level of protection if they were to, become violent.
Right, because they did get up close and personal and they invaded space, so they don't have any boundaries, so consequences are good. All right, also saw Seattle, what happened in Seattle over the weekend. Of course, I was in Seattle last weekend, didn't go to the Space Needle. This is just, I'm sorry, but the government up there is such a clown show.
Well,
they held the press conference for like 5 hours so dignitaries could be there. Are you kidding me? And again, it was a shooting at the Bight. Yeah. And it appears that it was, again, allegedly two people were shooting at each other. And unfortunately, a number of people were caught in the crossfire.
Yeah. So, yeah, you had two people at this the Bight of Seattle. So a food fest type kind of a thing.
Family friendly. Lots of kids.
Yep. Open fire at one another is the official story.
Yeah.
I believe right now it's 3 dead, 4 injured, including a toddler.
Yeah. It's a 2-year-old.
And they arrested one of them. One was still on the loose as of last I saw. But then Seattle police, the chief is in Chicago.
She lives in Chicago. He does. Right?
Okay. Who knows? You know, but when your chief of police is out of state, okay, you got your next in line. Come up and do a press conference. Let Seattle know what's going on, especially shooting in a busy place. And it took you 5 hours so that Paul and the governor could show up.
Yeah. And of course, Mayor Forehead was there. But
well, you know. I don't believe that. The leadership of the Socialist Party in Washington State believes that she could actually do this press conference on her own. So she had to have the higher up show up and kind of handhold her, keep her quiet in the background.
I did. I watched some of the press conference. You know, I'm over at redstate.com's got an article on this from the wonderful Terry Kristoff. She was saying, Chief Barnes, again, back to Chief Barnes, where was he? I'm apparently where he's often found, at his home in Chicago. Yeah. And he's making $360,000. That excludes bonuses and benefits. And apparently he doesn't spend a lot of time there, according to the article. Is Seattle okay with that?
Obviously it's remote work, and that's really important.
Oh, police work is remote work. You can do it over a Zoom call.
If I was a Seattle resident, which I'm glad I'm not, I would be immediately calling. He needs to be out of there. That money needs to go to someone here locally that cares about this community, that knows what's going on. And our mayor needs to be ousted, because if she can't hold a press conference after a shooting, she's not worthy.
And then the usual leftist talking points of gun violence and it's the gun, like the gun jumped up. And again, prayers for the people, obviously, that lost their lives, 3 people, like you said, and then a handful of others. And there have been some videos floating around out there. I mean, that's absolutely horrific. Again, you're at an event in Seattle, but right under the Space Needle, touristy central. It was jam packed. Somebody was a vendor and was doing a live stream and caught kind of the chaos and heard the shots in the video. Again, this is redstate.com. It's a good article. This kind of violence should not be tolerated, but when you're not putting people in jail, you're going to get more of it. When there were no consequences to this, I don't know what's going to happen when these people, the other guy or person is arrested, but what are going to be the consequences?
Well, let's put it this way. you know, we've talked about Salem, and a couple of big instances have created the feeling that downtown Salem isn't safe. An instance right. like this creates the scenario where it's not safe. My question now is, where was the police present? I was at Hoopla this weekend, and every block or so, there was at least one, if not two or three, police officers wandering through the neighborhood. Where was the police presence in this?
Apparently not a lot of police presence up there. There were a point where there were a lot of live streamers that were commenting on that they were able to come in. This is a paid event. You have to pay to be in these events. Don't you? I mean, it wasn't, I remember the Bite of Salem. I thought you had to pay to come in.
I am not sure about this one, but
there should be gates or entry points because you've got hundreds of people, well, thousands of people in there.
Yeah.
And he was saying he didn't see a lot of security. He was wearing a backpack and filming. Nobody wanted to look in his backpack or anything. So it sounds like there wasn't much of a police presence up there. And I think that's interesting, like you said, Hoopla, that there was. A pretty sizable
Presence. There was state patrol. There was local police. I saw quite a number of officers just wandering around, and I didn't see any acts of violence. I didn't, you know, well, maybe some on the courts. They get a little intense, but, you know, all within the rules. And no, it was a fun event being out there. Cool. But yes, I did see plenty of police presence just out there talking to people. And that's all it takes to alleviate these scenarios most often.
Yeah. Exactly. So, way to go, Portland. You're going to have snitches in your garbage cans, but you're going to not have as much police presence. And you're looking at that play out in Seattle now, too.
Yeah. So, well, and I would say trickle down because, you know, Portland's already not a safe feeling place. And you see something like this happen in Seattle, and it's going to be less likely, especially knowing there is no law enforcement out there to be your first responders.
Use air quotes. It's not good. It's not good at all. Let's go ahead and take our last break. You're listening to Newsmakers at Noon on 1430 KYKN.
Now back to the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers at Noon is brought to you by Color Tile of Salem and Cozy's New York Deli.
All righty. Well, ding dong. The IP is dead. We talked about it a little bit last night. Ding dong. The IP is dead. IP28 is dead. It'll be back. It will rise.
Well, we talked about it last week.
We did. I wanted to touch a little bit more on it because there's a number of people. We had that great post from Honey Badger Mom talking about it. So again, it is dead. But again, it would have criminalized hunting, fishing, livestock production, and even basic pest control. They turned in over 142,000 signatures, but only about 104 checked out. That was short of about 117. Again, this was an out-of-state group. A bunch of vegans deciding to poke their noses in here. I had tweeted out here, too. I said, it'll be back in some form or another. This was a shark bump, just testing the waters in Oregon. Also getting contact information for low-IQ voters who signed the petition and seeing what language works and what doesn't. Be ever vigilant. The people behind this certainly are. They are not... they're not resting. They're retooling for the next time.
Well, like you said, out-of-state money, out-of-state groups doing it and running a test on Oregon. Why do we have to put ourselves up there as our crash test dummies? I would love to sit there and put a foot down and say, we are no longer going to be your Petri dish.
I know. I'm tired of being a Petri dish. Somebody has raised a good point out there. He said, on another level, he wishes it would have qualified because it would have driven turnout in the general. And I think that's right. It would have, because it would have gone down most likely, although measure 110. I don't know. But it would have gotten, it would have motivated a lot of people maybe who normally are apathetic. It would have maybe gotten them out to vote.
Well, yeah, that, and I, you know, for me, it would have created the scenario where, you know, And while I don't want ranchers and other things to have to spend money to defeat something like this, it would have created that. Because what we saw, especially with 110, is everybody just sat on their hands. It's not going to pass anyway. We're good. No big deal. Sat on their hands. And then now what? We're 4 or 5 years into legal battles over the whole thing. Yep. I'm going, this is something we couldn't afford to have these legal battles go on and on and on and on. So I'm glad that it didn't get on the ballot, but I'm also kind of like, it would have forced money to encourage people to get out and vote as well.
Yeah, I mean, of course, there's still litigation for 114 as well. And so, mm-hmm. you know, these things, you want to get them at the beginning. First of all, don't sign it.
Mm-hmm.
Stop it in its tracks there. And this sounds like it was sloppy and it was dopey and it wasn't handled well and they didn't vet the signatures that much. But they've built up a nice mailing list now and they've got all this information and now they know what kind of will and what kind of won't work. So again, these people never stop. It's like mm-hmm. when you do an annual conference, you start planning for next year the day after.
Well, and
you just jump right in and you go. You don't wait.
And well, and like a lot of rumors, like we talked about last week, where they were going to make sure that this didn't get on the ballot. So they might have been a little more stringent on some of these signatures than they otherwise would have been.
Right.
Because like you said, the last thing they want to do is be able to hang something like this during the governor election.
Exactly. So it may be dead for now, or maybe it's in a coma. It'll come back.
Yeah, I think it's taking a long nap right now. It's maybe in hibernation, but I expect we will see this again probably in a couple of years, maybe four, especially if we can get a Republican governor.
Well, and what Honey Badger Mama talked about in her tweet last week, this is the third iteration of it. So, yeah. All right, switching gears a little bit before we hit the end of the hour. I saw this and I was just grossed out.
Mm-hmm.
I remember Pizza Day when it was lunch. I loved Pizza Day. I love the chocolate milk. For whatever reason, the chocolate milk is just so good in the school cafeteria. Wall Street Apes is tweeting this. 40 different school lunches were taken, frozen, and sent to an independent lab. Here's what they found. Oh my gosh. Over 93% positive for glyphosate. 100% positive for heavy metals. 29 different pesticides were found. Aviary contraceptive in school lunches, meaning it prevents the birds from laying eggs. What? Very toxic heavy metals, high levels that are known to cause permanent brain damage. And then they found very low nutrients, like abysmal levels of nutrients.
Wait, didn't we have a vice president a few years back who made one of her key things healthy lunches in schools?
Was that Michelle?
I think that was Big Mike out there pushing healthy lunch in schools. I know there was a lot of disappointment amongst kids when all of a sudden the idea of a candy bar or a soda disappeared from their options and forced people into this.
Here's your kale. Yum.
Here's your healthy chicken. Don't pay any attention to all of the contraceptions in it.
I know that was an aviary contraceptive in school lunches. All of this is very disturbing. And I don't know. I haven't had a school lunch in ages, but I remember getting a little square pizza and it was yummy. It was, we liked it. It says also, again, it doesn't end there. They also found additional testing of foods. Fast food burgers contain 1,000% more heavy metals than deemed safe. School lunches contain 6,000% more heavy metals. It's with all the heavy metals and everything. Holy crimoly. Baby formula was tested. Trader Joe's gluten-free bagels contain huge amounts of gluten. What? I don't know. It's like you read the labels and we all try our best to eat real food, but this is kind of disturbing.
Well, unfortunately, it takes us back to, you know, I'm glad IP28 isn't coming out so you can actually do things like have your own chickens.
source it from get your own beef, grow your own veg, bake your own bread. Watch out where the flour comes from, though.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy. This is Wall Street Apes, and that is interesting.
Could any of this be linked to the obesity problems in society today?
Yes. Yes.
I would
probably say yes.
You know, and that's maybe we do need to make America healthy again.
Well, we got Maha in there, so let's keep going on this. So that's interesting information. Check your labels and do the best you can. All right, that is it for us today. Tomorrow, we're going to talk all things real estate, right? Tomorrow's Real Estate Insights with Amy McLeod. So come on back for tomorrow. Have a great day.
This has been the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance. Live local talk that matters to you. Exclusively on 1430 KYKN, where Salem is listening.